This is Dr. Norbert Reinhardt. I have called this tape, So You Think You Are a Type 4. It was made in strict ad-lib fashion and is quite technical. Therefore, concentrate and make notes on the many Type 4 upstream details. It will serve to make you comprehend your pivot and your problem. Of a physical type 4 would be tedious. Initially, I presented all of the type 4 facts in several lessons. However, I soon found that giving too much medicine at one time was even a greater evil and not enough. Therefore, I began presenting all stages of the type 4 development in four separate category or phases. Only Mother Nature dictated when the student should pass from one category to the next. Sometimes a single category consumed as much as 2 years, and still other students passed all through the four categories in the same amount of time. This has always been a highly personal problem. This tape represents a detailed group of type 4 questions and answers in ad-lib fashion. It is intended for advanced type 4 students or for dedicated instructors. I have titled it, So You Think You Are a Type 4. Number one, what is meant by a physical type 4 in the pivot system? And what are the basic physical qualifications? Type 4 is the most common of all of the upstream types. The mouthpiece placement is low on the upper lip, so that the lower lip predominates into the cup of the mouthpiece, thereby permitting the airstream to enter the cup of the mouthpiece in an upward manner. The airstream hits close to the upper rim for the upper tone, and close, but not directly into, the throat of the mouthpiece for the lower tones. This type of performer generally has the angle of the instrument almost horizontal for the middle register, slightly down for the lower register, and tilted upwards for the extreme upper register. This is just another way of saying that the jaw must protrude to ascend and recede to descend. A type 4 should never duck his head and raise the angle of his instrument to descend, as this permits the jaw to drop, the embouchure to open, and the lower lip becomes a flabby mass. A player who uses this false method generally finds it necessary to take a breath while ascending. Somewhere in the vicinity of middle E, F, F sharp, or G. And frankly, the breath is simply an excuse to shift gears, to tuck in the lower lip, and bring the jaw forward and upward, so that he can continue his way into the high register. To put it bluntly, this produces unwanted multiple amishes. One of the first things a type 4 must learn is to descend correctly. Believe me, this is of paramount importance. If you will examine a type 4 visually with a transparent plastic mouthpiece and a flashlight, you'll find that after the airstream strikes into the upper part of the cup, it immediately commences a counterclockwise spiral motion to the remainder of the cup and into the instrument. This is the fact north of the equator. I have never been south of the equator, but I imagine that spiral would be reversed in direction. Physically, a type 4 has a short upper lip with long upper teeth. And he possesses a very long jaw. From the tip of the chin to the end of the jawbone, just below the ear, a type 4 is extremely long, making it very easy for him to protrude his jaw while it is in its plain position. A type 4's jaw recedes in its natural position, but protrudes in its playing position. In most cases, that is while utilizing the placement of less upper lip than lower lip. When I say less upper lip than lower lip, I may mean 1/3 on the upper lip, 2/3 on the lower lip, as far as mouthpiece placement is concerned. Some use considerably less upper lip than that, particularly people with unusually heavy lips. So let's say an average medium lipped person, the placement is approximately 1/3 in the upper lip, 2/3 on the lower lip. That is type 4. Physically, because of the short upper lip and long upper teeth, the type 4 must feel that he is pulling down the lip to a lower position on the teeth with the rim of the mouthpiece while ascending. In short, he does this. Keep the tip of the upper lip in the path of the airstream. I might add by saying that he does this unknowingly. To descend, he must feel that he is pushing up the lips to a slightly higher spot on the teeth with the rim of the mouth. In both the cases of ascending and descending, it must be understood that the mouthpiece is not intended to slide down on the lips to ascend, and to ride up on the lips to descend. Many type force have two or three positive grooves on the lower lip, and they are plainly visible on the outside of the armature. Now, this is not to suggest, several armatures. I'll go into this a little later, so let's hold that in advance momentarily. The upper part of any single groove must provide the lower extension, and the lower part of this groove must provide the upper extension. A muscle should be very elastic for this purpose. The anchor spot on a type 4 is on the lower lip, and the control point on the upper lip. Therefore, you may assume that throughout the middle and lower register, more weight or mouthpiece pressure, whatever you choose to call it, will be on the lower lip or the anchor spot. And this should be maintained as high as possible in the range. When the additional pressure is added, that is to the upper lip, while the jaw juts forward, the upper range will be extended indefinitely. Another way of saying this would be, if too much pressure is applied to the upper lip too soon in the range while ascending, well, how much higher are you going to go when you apply it? Think it over. Regarding the so-called cool down on the upper lip, the lip pulls down on the teeth, and it's pulled down by the rim of the mouthpiece. I hope I made that clear. And it is done to keep the tip of the upper lip in the path of the airstream. Otherwise, you would get a choke while ascending. Some type 4 performers have two grooves on the lower lip. The upper groove for the lower register, the lower groove for the higher register. Do not interpret this as two separate grooves, but rather as the upper and lower boundaries of a single groove on a very pliable elastic muscle. In short, a single groove should have that much leverage to take in the enormous range of a type 4. Some type 4 performers have a slight pocket of air under the upper lip and a slight puff around their cheekbone while playing loudly in the upper register. However, I've seen this interfere with very few performers of the type 4 physical category. In the upper register, let us say this, something's got to give. Many fours that I know personally get that little pocket of air over, that is the mouthpiece rim under the upper lip. Do not confuse a pocket of air with a puff of air. They're two different things. And now, the extreme upper tones, when the velocity of the air has been so increased, sometimes, if there isn't a slight give in the cheeks appetite for, he will wind up with an excessive neck puff. Now, I consider a little give in the kicks a far lesser an evil than a neck puff. I discussed this at great length in my encyclopedia. I do wish you would read it. Kicks should never be drawn in. Now, that is not to condone kick puffing, but kicks should not be drawn in. They should give when air velocity increases for more fortissimo passages. Kick restriction invariably winds up with a neck puff. The points that I've just presented are just generalities concerning the type 4. I prepared a list of questions at this point, and are really to dovetail all the discussions we've had up to this point and maybe shed some light on some of the questions which may be confusing you right now. In short, it breaks down the entire discussion. Question number 2. What percentage in the profession are type 4s? Discuss this both in relation to trumpets and trombone performance. For the past 20 years, many lead trumpet players have become type 4s. For example, when the 9-man brass team became quite common in the early 40s, when the first trumpet had 8 men under him, so to speak, plus a loud, dark glasses, gum-chewing, cigarette-smoking drummer, well, that takes a little bit more than the so-called soloists' high tones. I remember listening to Herbert Klotz's record. I have never gotten over his tremendously exciting finger technique. I have all his records. And he does run up to a high F. He ensures the mighty Pacific sounds in the Hudson, the Carnival of Venice. Well, you name it. In fact, he was the first man to ever record a high F with the cornet in those days. But that type of high end wouldn't exactly be conducive to a topping a 9-man brass team. In short, today, we need all those upper tones. We need them with volume, with endurance. We must be able to articulate up there. And I might say, sometimes, 7 nights a week. No other instrument has changed more in the past 20 years, range-wise, than trumpet and trombone. I'm sure everyone will agree with that statement. Trombones and trumpets, in some cases, have gone up at 10. A major tenth. Therefore, all instruction books and what used to be considered the thing, well, let's say since the Russians had their Sputnik, maybe we're getting weak. A lot of things that we should have thought of before. The point is that type 4s and trumpet abound. particularly with lead performers. So I would say, put a figure in it, that in the dance, stage, or studio band field, there are more Type 4 lead trumpets than all other types combined. I do not believe I am exaggerating if I said 60% Type 4s, that's trumpet, by the way, 60% to 40% for all other types. I believe that's a just figure. With trombones, this is not true. There are very few Type 4s on trombones. I could mention Chai Whitney, Dick Nash, and a few others. They're few and far between because the larger size mouthpiece is interfered with the bump on the chin, so to speak. They can't place this mouthpiece as low as they'd like to because chin interference. Even if the mouthpiece size is cut down to accommodate the chin. And they have another problem. The trombone neck pipe actually presses in their neck and shoulder so hard that by the time they put on a tuxedo or a band coat, they are really in trouble as far as placement is concerned. Unless their necks are long enough to accommodate it. So, we'll say it this way. The trumpets in the dance, stage, and studio band fields, 60% are Type 4s, 40% are all other types. But as far as trombones are concerned, the Type 4s are few and far between for the reasons mentioned. Question number 3. What advantages does a fully developed Type 4 possess? Number 1, tremendous range. Number 2, an unbelievable flexibility. And so tremendous that they can do things that just no one else can. They have splendid endurance when they're developed in the proper manner. They can go on indefinitely. However, they must take frequent rest periods. But their recuperative powers are splendid. They have a tremendous penetrating power. And to a Type 4, I believe they can verify my story. When an octave becomes a minor second in effort, well, I guess you'd say you're a Type 4. Teacher of mine used to refer that to all players. However, I think it's particularly true of the Type 4s. Question number 4. What disadvantages does a Type 4 possess? And how should he practice? And what equipment should he use to overcome them? The disadvantage of a Type 4, some people would consider their tone thin, nasal, harsh, strident, glassy, and many other adjectives to indicate that the tone has a lot of brilliancy, but not too much resonance. Now, I do not go along with that completely. I do say this, that a finely developed type 3, that is, of the three categories of type 3, the type 3, the type 3A, and the type 3B, they do make a fine symphonic performance. Your type 4s, because of the edgy sound, some recipient men frown on low placements of mouthpieces. Still, for many years, a world-renowned French horn player played one-third in his upper lip, two-thirds in his lower lip, and on false teeth, no less. By false teeth, I mean two plates, upper and lower, and he had them at the age of 15. I never can get this case out of my mind. It's such a marvelous thing. Sounds became very edgy when the microphone came into vogue. The microphone has played a very important influence even on brass instrument manufacture. A brilliant sound records well. As some sounds we would admire in Severance Hall in Cleveland, the Academy of Music, or the Concert Hall in Boston, they are not sounds that record well. While they sound very beautiful, have tremendous carrying power, and all that sort of thing. So what is good in a large hall is not necessarily good as far as the microphone is concerned. Now the Type 4 suits the microphone very much. They have great penetrating power. And they have the kind of tone that cuts through what I call a real trumpet sound. If after they are fully developed, they still feel that they want more resonance and less buoyancy, then the resonance factor can be increased to a tremendous degree by another model mouthpiece and a large bore instrument. I always think a type 4 should favor a large bore instrument anyway, because type 4s have the edge regardless of how heavy the instrument or the mouthpiece may be. Many type 4s use a very small mouthpiece. Very small mouthpiece. And I have always found a flat rim a definite advantage to a type 4. Of course, that's personal too. So you could say that if you gain more resonance, you can take a little edge off by adopting other equipment, like a mouthpiece and an instrument. His practice should be the type that abounds with sustained strength. Like Conconi or Bordoni vocal studies. A great amount of cantabile strength throughout the middle register. A type 4 should perfect his legato tongue as soon as possible, because the legato tongue does fatten out his thin sound. When I say thin sound, that is the opinion of some people, not my own. And a disadvantage? I did say a developed type 4. I could name that as the main disadvantage to some people. And I might say, you're very sensitive to movement. You can't move very much. If a person had the box, for example. Well, a type 4 would present quite a problem. It is so sensitive to movement that what used to be a vibrato with his hand, a hand vibrato, on a type 4 actually produces a shake. That's something, isn't it? So I might say they should practice a great many sustained things in cantabile fashion to make it more interesting. You slow, balanced, tight, or steady throughout the middle register. And then they should get into a program of every day touching upon some soft tone. Now, all of that to them is much more valuable than a lot of flexibility studies, rip drills, and the like. They don't need it. They can do that anyway. What they need is sound. They don't need range. They don't need flexibility. They don't need endurance. But they need more resonance. So let's balance our practice. Let's not eat all dessert. Let's eat some meal too. Question number 5. Why are so few symphonic brass performers in the type 4 category? First of all, it is a known fact that a type 3 possesses a so-called larger, more resonant sound, which in many cases might lend itself better to symphonic playing and a type 4. All your type 3s are downstream, or your 4s are upstream. You can break that down by saying that the upstream types are invariably more brilliant. But the downstream types are more rhythmic. And symphonically, it presents problems because on some sustained pianissimo passage, the player would shiver in his boots. If he were a type 4, because, and I say it, he would stick out so much. In other words, he'd feel like he's out on an island all by himself, because his tone is so edgy and so brilliant. A symphony player wants something to hide behind. He wants some resistance, that he can play a pianissimo without fretting about it. Therefore, they avoid extremely open mouthpiece. And most symphony players on trumpet use a 28 throat. They're particularly nervy people, so to speak. I think they even get enough courage to play a 27 throat. 27, of course, is larger than the 28 as far as drills are. The lower the drill numbers, the larger. So I can say that there are very few symphony performers who are type 4s. I never found out as why this occurred, but it does work out that way. And since the question said, why are so few symphonic performers in the type 4 category, I believe I've answered it that directly. As far as trombone is concerned, at the moment, I cannot think of a single trombone player who's in an American symphony who is a type 4. Now, there must be one somewhere. I just can't think of one. But that's how much type 3s predominate, symphonically speaking, both on trumpet and on trombone. Question number 6. Does a type 4 start as a type 4 from the very beginning? Discuss this point in detail. And when they do start as type 4s, there is generally a great deal of trouble. only a certain few make it, so to speak. If you ask a student to protrude his jaw so that the lower teeth extend beyond the uppers in a forward manner, invariably we will see him push out the red of his lower lip along with it. Very few at the outset would protrude the jaw and pull the lower lip slightly in and over the lower teeth. Because lips before they're trained, especially lower lips, are particularly flabby in most cases. So I start a type 4 with the horn pointing slightly down. Down to such a point that the red of the lower lip would be permitted and encouraged to come slightly in and over the lower teeth. In short, they all start the same, but they wind up a little bit different. He starts on a wet lip, saturated lip at all times. I do everything possible to encourage that. In fact, in some cases, with a saturated lip, it was too limited. That is, the word saturation, it didn't mean saturation. I used saliva and vitamin A in the ointment because I want the mouthpiece to locate. At the very beginning, the first few lessons, it is very inadvisable to try to figure out a person's type as far as the pivot system is concerned. Certainly you can understand the logic of that. The lips aren't formed, they're not set. A student hasn't developed a sense of feel. Well, he's in the dark, let's face it. So I get him on some buzzing exercises as they're presented in my encyclopedia of the pivot system. And I show him how to slur, show him how to buzz, and what a slur is at the first lesson, not the 10th lesson or the 12th lesson, as it is presented in some of the many, many, and varied stupid beginner's books. Slurring and buzzing are the two most vital things to a beginner. They develop the lower lip faster than all the exercises and talk in the world. Buzzing, number one. Number two, slurring. Those two things must be ground in lesson one. I repeat, the horn is slightly down. We don't know what type he is at this moment. We couldn't care less. Because momentarily, we're trying to set up a correct vibration of the lips so that the individual can produce a sound. And I do not mean a low C. I would never be accused of strutting a student on low C. Please never accuse me of that. Generally, it's a middle C, and if I have enough time, I can always get a person up to middle C. I want him to feel that he's reaching up and reaching down, not that he's in the bottom of the ladder trying to reach up from the bottom. That's the wrong psychological concept in the first place. So to get back to the question, which I will repeat, and question number 6, as a type 4, start as a type 4 from the very beginning, discussed in detail. I said that if they start as a type 4 and start incorrectly, we have to do it all over again anyway. This business of keeping the horn down. All my students are started that way. They must find out what the lower lip is. They must find out what the jaw is. They must find out what blowing means. We're going to coordination after three factors. Produce a sound. When I make them type force, that varies with the individual. We'll discuss that later, but I feel I've answered the question at this point. Number seven, that is question number seven. Where is the anchor spot on the armature of a type four? The lower lip provides the anchor spot for a type four. In short, more pressure should be in the lower lip than the upper, in the middle and lower pressures for a type four. Assuming, of course, that he's properly developed. Let's not get that twisted. Question number eight. Where is the control point on the armature of a type four? The control point on the armature of a type four is the upper lip. And put those two questions together, the anchor spot, or a real grip, and the lower lip, control point, is the upper lip. That is for an upstream type four. Please do not confuse that. Question number nine. Discuss mouthpiece pressure, the four legs, and so forth, of a type four. And I repeat, when a type four is developing in the proper manner, he uses more pressure on his lower lip than on his upper for the middle and lower registers, and this is maintained as high into the range as possible. Using any upper lip pressure for the extreme upper notes on the instrument. If pressure is applied to the upper lip too soon in the range, he limits his range by so doing. The term four legs in the pivot system means that the table has four legs and the chair has four legs and it's set solidly on the floor. That's an analogy. The mouthpiece has to set firmly on the teeth, or in the case of the trimball and the teeth and the gum. In the case of a type four, it's more like three legs, or more like a tripod. Two on the lower lip, one on the upper lip. And that's the case in the majority of players. I'm sure they think of it that way. If there's to be any legs at all, there's two on the lower lip, one on the upper, as a tripod. So I could say, discuss the mouthpiece pressure in the tripod for type four. That's actually what I mean, because I do not think that very many type fours who have been properly developed feel any flushness on the top lip. I think more of the flush in the grip lip on the anchor spot on the lower lip. The proof of it is, when they talk to you right after playing, please notice the semicircle horseshoe on the lower lip, where the upper lip is only slightly red from the plane. There's always a groove on the lower lip. Question number 10. Why is the type 4 so sensitive to movement? The type 4 is hypersensitive to movement because of the close setting of the armature. It is set so closely that it is no more effort for them to play a high C than a middle C. In fact, some will tell you it's less effort. So that the least little movement, the least little alteration of pressure can cause a miss. That's why I'm always stressing the extreme importance of a firm grip with the left hand. The left hand is the guardian of your armature. Some teachers aver that if the left hand grip is too firm, it encourages too much mouthpiece pressure. I have found the exact opposite to be the truth. Like any of the other types in the pivot system, type 4 uses both a forward and backward pressure, the forward pressure being the pocket resistance, the backward pressure being the mouthpiece pressure, and when one is applied against the other, one neutralizes the other. So in the pivot system, we press to neutralize, not to press. Question number 10. Why is a type 4 so sensitive to movement? Because of the close setting of the lips. Because of the shrinking of intervals. And just imagine, if an octave is so close, where the least movement brings out an octave, just imagine how close the notes would be in between. Naturally, movement is an enemy of a type 4. So if you want to answer the question directly, why is a type 4 so sensitive to movement? It's because of the close setting of the armature formation and the sensitivity created thereby. Number 11, discuss the endurance factor of a type 4. One of the early things a type 4 must learn is that they can only play short periods of time. Some students have found that they couldn't even complete a four-measure phrase at the outset. This gradually increases because they recuperate